God loves growth. He created the world and it's got ecosystems in it, and for plants, animals and humans to grow and develop. A child grows in the mother's womb and then grows as a child, and God loves to see growth. God could have created our world so differently. He could have just created everything fully formed and for there to be no development or growth at all. But he didn't do it because I believe God loves growth. Why did I say it? Because he created Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Grow a family, grow a human race. With Abraham, he said, I'm going to promise to grow a nation out of you. I'm going to give you a family and many descendants. In Christ, he tells his disciples, go and make more disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, obeying them everything that I have commanded you. And he promises that he will build, he will grow his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the revelation, the growth of the church and human history is complete. And the church is presented to Christ as his bride and to dwell with him forever. I believe God designs growth, God desires growth, and God loves growth. And so think about why we also, as humans, also love growth, because we are created in God's image to image him and to love the things that God loves. And why is it that we love to see babies and we love to see them grow and develop? Why is it that some of us have a real interest in plants and growing things in their houses and in their gardens to become fully mature? We love to see it. And don't we love to see, even last Sunday, young people getting baptized, growing in their faith and becoming mature in Christ? Don't we love to see growth physically and spiritually? And throughout the book of Acts, it's really a record of the growth of the early church, isn't it? In Jerusalem, it begins with the 12 disciples in the upper room and a few other followers, and then it grows to 3,000 at Pentecost, and then the Lord's continuing to add to their number daily. In Acts 4, it says their number of men was 5,000, and then add on the women and the children, you're probably in the tens of thousands. Constantly throughout Acts, it says that the disciples were multiplying, and then as they are scattered because of the persecution, they go and they share the word and they preach the word everywhere. So it goes from Jerusalem and then goes into Samaria, where it talks about men and women believe. Simon believed. Individuals, Judea, the Ethiopian eunuch, he believed and he was baptized. In Damascus, Saul becomes Paul. He is converted. He is baptized. He goes to grow. He goes deeper in his faith and he goes wider with it as well. The gospel is preached. Individuals are converted. Churches are planted and churches grew. In Joppa, in Caesarea, in Antioch, in Jerusalem, it continues to grow there too. In Iconium, in Derbe, in Lystra, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, in Berea, in Athens, in Corinth, in Ephesus, and in Rome. The book of Acts shows us the growth of the early church geographically and numerically. But the growth that we really love to see is growth that goes down deep. And scriptures in the letters Paul and Peter write to these churches, and they really encourage them to grow spiritually. Ephesians 4 says, be no longer children, but grow up in Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes that the Thessalonians grew exceedingly in their faith. Paul desires their growth inwardly and to go deeper. And Philippians, Paul prayed that the church's love would abound more and more. The church is going deeper, and as a result, it then grows wider as well. So what's then happened since Acts 28? Well, throughout the last 2,000 years of human history, the church has continued to grow, hasn't it? In Europe, in Africa, in Asia, the Americas, into the urban centers, to the jungle tribes. And the church today continues to grow worldwide. It's amazing to read that the growth is the fastest in the global south, particularly in Africa, the fastest growing continent of the church in the world. There are more Christians in Africa than any other continent in the world, praise God. And Christianity is also spreading out rather than being concentrated in a few particular countries or areas. The concentration of Christians is being diluted right across the earth so that more countries have Christians in them than ever before. And to keep up with the demand for growth, 100 million Bibles are produced each year because people have a desire to grow. In around 1900, 50% of the world's population were considered unevangelized, but now that's down to nearly 25%. And it's wonderful to think that where you sit today, Hamilton Road Baptist has had a part to play in this grand sweep of human history. 115 years ago, a group of believers in our town felt called to create Hamilton Road Baptist Church, in those days called Bangor Baptist Church. And for all of those years, people have been gathering here, growing here, and going from here, growing deeper in their knowledge of the Lord, which then just propels them to go wider to tell others. And it's amazing to think that today our lives are caught up in this grand sweep of history, that we can be part of what God is doing in human history until we get to that revelation where the church is presented to Christ as her, as his bride. And today, I believe God wants us to keep on growing. God wants to see growth in you. God wants to see growth in me. God loves growth. Maturity is one of God's purposes for our lives. In Hebrews 6:1, it says, let us press on to maturity. And Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says in Romans 8:29, that we are to be conformed into the image of his son. So to grow as a Christian is to become more like Jesus and less sinful desires and attitudes in our lives. One pastor and commentator said that if we take care of the depth of our ministry and indeed our lives, God will take care of the breadth of it. Let's work on the quality of what we do and let God take care of the quantity. So the question is for us, how can we as a church help each other to grow? Well, Colossians 1:28 that Johnny has read is a verse that we're going to ponder and pick apart this morning. It says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So the first thing our verse tells us today, that if we want to see growth, because God loves growth, we need to proclaim Christ. It begins, he is the one we proclaim, or in the KJV, him we proclaim. This is the first thing that we see. This word proclaim is that we announce him, we declare him, we make him known, primarily with our words, but then backed up with our actions as well. So who is the one that we proclaim? Who is the him in this passage? Well, Johnny has read it already, but Paul has given a beautiful description of our beautiful Savior that we talk about as we gather as a church, that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the supreme one. In him, all things were created, and things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible. He is the creator of all. But then it goes on that before he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the sustainer of all. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. As we gather as a church, Christ is our head. Christ is the one that we want to talk about. Christ is the one we want to sing about. Christ is the one that we want to pray about. And Christ is the one that we want to go and tell others about as a church. Christ had God's fullness dwell in him. Why? So that he could reconcile us to himself. Jesus Christ is wonderful. You say, tell me a bit more about him. Well, who did Jesus say that he was? Well, in John's gospel, he had seven sayings of the I ams, but also says that he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end in Revelation. But in John's gospel, he goes on and says, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd who will guide you through life. And I am the gate that will lead you to eternal life. Isn't Jesus marvelous? And do you know what's amazing? He's a friend of sinners. Like you and like me. And your family and your friends. And Bangor Rugby Club, Bangor Hockey Club, drama groups, music groups, floral groups, people in our town. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And there's no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. So that's why we need to keep talking about Jesus. That is why it is him we proclaim. You say, Keith, I get it, but is that just for non-Christians? No, it's for Christians, because the way in is a way on. If we want to grow, we don't move past Jesus. We just go deeper into Jesus. Why would we bother gathering as a church and talking about anything else? Why would we proclaim ourselves? Why would we talk about buildings? Why would we talk about programs? Why would we talk about anybody or anything else other than Christ? Because churches who don't preach Christ don't grow. Churches who preach a different Christ will not grow either. Churches who preach a false Christ will not grow. Yes, they can draw a crowd. Cults can draw a crowd from all over, but they will not grow. And that's why we continue to preach Christ from scriptures, because as we gather around him, as we learn about him, as we proclaim him, that is the first way that we will grow. I remember in the years as a youth worker, a child or a teenager leaving youth club in a bit of a rage. I think we had to kick him out for doing something. And he said, well, all he's doing there is talk about Jesus anyway. Well, isn't that wonderful? That we long to see these young people give their lives to Jesus. What has Jesus done for us? Well, in verse 21, it says that we are once alienated from God. We were once enemies of God, but he has brought us near. He has reconciled us, and we are brought holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, that if we continue with him, we will be presented mature in Christ. You say, Keith, well, that's who we proclaim, but where do we proclaim him? Well, as the church gathers in Acts 2, it says to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Yes, we talk about Jesus in church, but it doesn't just end there. It's in our lives, it's in our homes, it's in our offices, it's in our schools, it's in our playgrounds, it's in our social clubs, it's at the school gate, it's online, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on TikTok, it's on Snapchat, and wherever else God has put us. And it's not just for the preachers and the pastors either, or for the Sunday school teachers. No, God's word says for all of us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And as Jesus sends out the disciples, he sends all of us, he says, go and make disciples. And how do we make disciples? We go and we proclaim Christ. But the problem we all have, and why it's so hard, is because we love to talk about ourselves. We love our social media to be about ourselves. Either wow is me or woe is me. As we gather with others, we love to either complain or to boast. And we love also to talk about others, don't we? Because it makes us look good if we talk about others and slag others off and gossip about others and critique everything. But it's him we proclaim. And if we are going to grow, we proclaim Christ. So how do we proclaim him? Well, Paul goes on and says, admonishing and teaching with all wisdom. Paul teaches and shares Christ in a variety of ways. So the Corinthians, he pleaded, says, we implore you be reconciled to God. In Athens, he also reasoned with the people of Athens. And in Thessalonica, he was gentle with the people around them. We proclaim Christ in a way appropriate to the situations that we find ourselves in, because we love people and we want them to be drawn to him. This is the model that we get from Jesus, isn't it? As he came to earth, he traveled from town to town, center to center. Why? Because he wanted to keep preaching to them. These words, admonish and teaching with all wisdom. Well, really to admonish is to warn and to instruct and call people back from a wrong way of living is really what not to do. And then teaching and saying, well, don't do that, but do this, is sort of guiding them in the right way and then to follow a particular course of action. And the New Testament is written brilliantly. It shows us in Christ that Christ is our Savior, but it's also our example of how to live out our lives as Christ followers. And the letters that we are given in the New Testament are wonderful too, for usually in the first half they show us Christ and say, look at Christ, marvel at Christ, be amazed at Christ, and then the second half it says, go and live like Christ. Proclaim to then go and live. We don't preach a system of ideas. No, as Christians, as a church, as individuals, we preach a person, Jesus Christ. Living things only grow if they're healthy. My youngest son, Cooper, is nearly one. Can't quite believe it. And along with the health visitor coming out to check his growth to see if he is healthy and well, we as parents long to see him grow. And it seems to be credit to his mother for good nutrition and a safe home environment that he is able to grow. And growing he is. But it's the same thing for our church. Since the church is a living organism, it's natural for it to grow if it is healthy. The church is also a body. It's not a business. It's an organism, not an organization. It's alive. And here's the reality for us today, Hamilton Road Baptist. If our church is not growing, it is dying. If we are not going deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dying. So the first way to see growth is to proclaim Christ. And we proclaim Christ because God loves growth. But secondly, also comes to pursue Christ as well. For a baby to grow, for Cooper to grow at home, it doesn't matter how much food we have in our fridge or in our freezers. It doesn't matter how many boxes of Optimal we have. It doesn't matter how many pureed meals we have or pouches are in the fridge. No, for a child to grow, it must want to grow. It must have that desire for food. It must come looking for food and to drink what is on offer. It's the same for adults as well. A healthy baby, a healthy human is one who feeds well. Only then will it grow. It's the same for Christians as well as we gather together as a church. If we want to grow, we need to want God's word as it's served up here. We need to want God's word in our homes as well. We need to do something as Christ is proclaimed. We also then need to pursue Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. So as Christ is proclaimed here, as teaching and preaching goes on here, as small groups happen around the church here, as devotions are given here, as prayer times are here, we have a choice whether to pursue growth or whether to not pursue what is on offer here. And over the years, what I have observed from believers is that if you don't feed yourself, if you don't come whenever God's word is served up, and if you don't feed yourselves in our homes, we simply will not grow. I'm not saying you have to have perfect attendance at everything that is on at a church. I'm not saying you have to have the perfect Sunday attendance. But what I have found is that if a believer is not regularly attending a local church that they could attend, I have rarely, if ever, seen growth in their lives. And to unpack this, I really want to give you three very simple Sunday school ways that you can grow as a Christian. Firstly, to absorb God's word as much as you can. Secondly, to pray as often as you can. And thirdly, to gather with God's people as much as you can. These are the absolute basics of the Christian life. There's lots of other things that flow out of it, but we can do these things well. As lots of you know, I'm a bit of a fan of rugby, and the All Blacks considered one of the greatest rugby teams ever after Ards. And you weren't supposed to laugh at that. And a few years ago, the All Blacks was asked, well, what's the secret to your success? You have 15 or 22 of the most talented and gifted and conditioned rugby players in the world. And their motto, the secret to their success, was that we're going to do the basics better than anybody else. Same in the Christian life. If we do the basics well, then we can flourish. So absorb God's word as much as you can. Last week in Acts 2, Johnny talked about the believers being devoted to the apostles' teaching, which in our terms is really to get their noses into our Bibles. So I'm saying absorb God's word as much as we can if we want to pursue growth. Well, what is that going to look like for you and for me? Well, it's going to be different for each person. It could be reading the Bible. It could be listening to the Bible. It could be on your own. It could be with two or three others. It could be with 10 to 12 others. It could be with 300 others. Ideally, it's a combination of all of those things. It's really get God's word into whatever way you can. I would really recommend that if you can eat God's word alone each day, that would be really helpful for you, because our lives are bombarded with so many voices and opinions and false truths and desires. So if we aim to feed ourselves in God's word every day, that we will get life-giving words rather than life-sucking words. And for each of us, that's going to vary. For some, it's going to be a chapter a day. For some, it's a paragraph a day. For some, it's going to be four chapters a day. For some, it's the whole Bible in a year. For others, it's the Bible in 4 years. For some, it's a short daily devotion. For some others, it's a longer time in God's word. In some seasons, it will merely be a verse or two a day just to keep on keeping on. And for others, it'll be more intensive time in God's word. It could be at home in the morning or in the evening. And it could be on your coffee break or on your lunch break. But 15 minutes a day will dramatically increase your consumption of God's word over the year. For others, it could be listening to it, going for a walk, and the audio Bible in your ears or while driving to work as well. But just to take one first, to dwell on it, to think about it, to think about Christ throughout the day. So eat God's word alone, but also eat God's word with others as well. And again, it's going to depend on your circumstances, but gather as often as you can with other believers. Eat from the food that is served up here in small groups, in devotions, in Sunday gatherings, as much as you can. Are there any adjustments in 2024 so that we can free ourselves up to gather and to eat God's word with others? Secondly, also to pray to God as much as you can as well. In this life, we have many concerns and things thrown at us. So I encourage you to pray when you feel overwhelmed, to pray in a regular way, to pray whenever you're on your own, but also to pray when you're with others, gathering two and three or 10 or 12 or 60 or 70 or hundreds, to cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. God wants to hear from you. And as we commune with God, we will grow deeper in our trust and in our love of God as well. So read and pray. There's an old chorus that's been talked about a few times here. It used to be sung at CE. It says, read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. But I'm not sure that's enough. I believe the third basic that we need to keep on keeping on is to gather with God's people as often as we can. I've alluded to this already in our prayer and in our reading of God's word, that where possible to gather with God's people. Why? Because it's not just head knowledge that makes us to grow, but it's living in community with others, learning how to be patient with others, learning how to love others, learning how to care for others, learning how to be rebuked and to be helped by others is how we will grow. Hebrews tells us, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Why? Because the old saying is ever true today that a lone wolf is a dead wolf. Wolves hunt in packs, but if you get an isolated wolf on its own, it will soon be a dead wolf. Or some of you in this cold weather have your fires on and the wood burners on, but what happens if you take a coal or a log out of the fire or the wood burner? Very quickly, the flames die down and the flame goes out, no longer burning. It's the same for us as believers. I realize I'm preaching to the converted here, but let's keep on gathering as believers. Let's maybe look out for others who haven't been gathering and gently, lovingly, and passionately encourage them on. Can you imagine the impact of 300 people pursuing Christ here at Hamilton Road Baptist Church, of going deeper with him? And as a result of that, and a consequence of that, is only naturally going to be going wider as well. To become more passionate about Jesus is going to overflow into our conversations and into our lives. Over the last 10 years, there has been growth. People have been going deeper, and that has led to them telling others and going to foreign lands to tell people as well. But imagine if, as a result of us all pursuing Christ, some of your family members and friends hear of Jesus and want to come and to be part of what God is doing, that they want to give their lives to him. Growing deeper so that somebody in your grandchildren's lives will share with them in the classroom what God has done in their lives, and seeing your grandchildren come back to church. Isn't this what we long for, to see our friends and family, but really to see any human beings, anybody whom Christ has died for, to come into a loving relationship with Christ, to grow. And that's what will happen as we grow deeper. The message will go wider. And we do pray people will be saved. Acts says that there are still many more people in the city, and we believe that as a church. There's many people in Bangor still to be won for Christ. But we need to engage. We need to pursue Christ as well. And then finally, we are then to be presented to Christ. We are to teach and admonish one another so that we may be presented perfect to Christ. This is the goal of all that we do as a church, to present you to Christ. Now, it's not just the pastor's role, but it's also all of our roles. This is something that is given to all Christians. Colossians 3 goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. As we sing together, we are encouraging each other to keep on keeping on, so that one day we will sing the eternal song in heaven with him. This is a goal of what we do as a church, to present people mature in Christ. And I close quickly with an illustration that I have. This year, I am determined to become a runner. So, for Christmas, I got a brand new pair of Hokas. There they are. Lovely. Unused. I also subscribe to Runner's World. There they are. Red, but not really put into practice. And as a birthday present, somebody bought a runner's vest. Now, I'm not going to wear any of that to save you this morning. If I want to become a runner, I need to learn about running. I need to learn from the experts and to find out how to do it. Oh, and I subscribe to Strava, and I bought a new watch to track all of my runs as well. I know how to be a great runner. But what do I need to do? I need to pursue running. I need to open the front door and get out there, get the trainers on, get the running vest on, and to begin putting one foot in front of the other. And the day after, or a few days later, do it again and to keep on doing it. It'd probably help if I joined a running club or signed up for parkrun for the discipline and encouragement of doing it with others, possibly some accountability, and then my lungs and my legs would soon grow and I might be able to run a wee bit faster than a very slow jog. And then maybe at the end of the year, I would be able to say I am a runner who enjoys some of the benefits. It's the same in the Christian life. Folks, I believe we know a lot about what it is to be a Christian. We've read lots of books. We've read lots of the Bible. We have lots of stories. We've got things to tell of our past. But I believe in this new year, we need to pursue Christ even in even greater ways. So begin where you are and with what you have. To get our Bibles open, to say our prayers, to gather with other Christians, to put into practice areas of obedience that God is calling us to join accountability groups, small groups, so that one day you and I would be presented mature in Christ and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray before we